number 161 have been announced as the song of encouragement for this evening. And we do hope, trust, and pray that when this next song has been sung, that there might be those in this beautiful audience on this evening who have come to be a part of this service, this gospel meeting. We're just grateful and thankful for your presence. Amen. Truly, we're thankful that God has blessed us. And if you're in this area, to have a little rain. I know some of us have not received much rain, but you all must be doing well out on this side. It's kind of hard to see Brother King a few moments ago, but certainly God have blessed this area with some rain.
Right.
And we are thankful to God for that.
Amen.
But it's also good to have those that are visiting with us. I know we have those from the Hawassi congregation. It might be other congregations that are here. But I want to say Hawassi, because Brother King, the minister there, we are thanking him for that beautiful prayer that he prayed.
Amen.
In our behalf. And also we thank Brother Dillard, who will be wording our dismissal prayer. Appreciate the fine songs that was led tonight by our fine brother here on this evening. We just had a wonderful time today. We were in the home of your fine minister and his family, the Walkups. Had a wonderful meal, a delicious meal, and we thanked them, the whole family. Everybody just chipped in and pitched in and did so much, and we want to say thank you to these fine brethren who have gotten my fans together. We appreciate you. Amen. I tell you what, I've got air from the back and air from the side. Amen. So only thing we probably need is a little air from up top. Amen. Amen. But nevertheless, God is good. I want to thank those of you who have worked behind the scenes. Amen. We've received some muscadine jelly. Amen. I had some for breakfast this morning. Amen. Had some peanut brittle that we didn't need, but it was certainly good. But whatever you have done, I want to say thank you. And I'll say thank you. Uh-oh, the wife is holding up a bag there. So I don't know what all is in that. So we're just saying thank you for your lovely hospitality, your kindness that you've shown. As I've said, I've been here before, pretty close to some 13 years ago in a gospel meeting, and certainly this is our second meeting, but we've been here for Vacation Bible School on occasion, as well as when you've had your one day services, and we've been always enjoyed coming to the Smyrna Church of Christ. But if you are not a member of the Church of Christ, you certainly are our honored guest. We appreciate you so very much for coming. We hope that you will take notes. We hope that you will ask questions if need be concerning the things that we say. Certainly we appreciate the fine comments from the lessons that have been preached previously. You've been very kind to accept those things that have been taught, and we appreciate your response in that way. I want you to be turning to the book of Acts, the 19th chapter. From wherever you're from, we want you to know that we are grateful for your presence on this evening. But as we said on last evening, we're going to be dealing with a lesson from the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. We want to start at verse number 13, and we will terminate at verse number 20. Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse number 13, and we will end at verse 20. If you have your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Matter of fact, we hadn't done a Bible check. We need to do a Bible check tonight, too. Let's raise up our Bible. Amen. I need a red Bible. Amen. Not a R-E-D Bible, but a R-E-A-D Bible. Is that all right? Amen. I tell folk all the time, Brother King, shame on you. You don't have your Bible. I know somebody probably tried to pull out a phone, cell phone, but I like this Bible right here where you can read. Amen. Amen. You can look at it. Amen. A man without his Bible is like a carpenter without his tools. Amen. A carpenter can't work without his tools, can he? Well, certainly we can't work, Brother Greg, without our tool, the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible says, is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of both soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Hebrews 4 and verse number 12. I like what Jesus said about the Word when he said in John chapter 8 and verse number 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Where is it found at? It's found in God's Word. David said it like this in Psalm 119, 105, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I'm so thankful, Brother Diller, that we have God's Word. Amen. This book is so sharp. Somebody said it's just like a knife. It'll cut you coming and a going. Is that all right? That's how sharp it is. I told somebody the other day, it's my shotgun, my double barrel. Amen. Old Testament, New Testament. That's the two barrels. But it's got 39 buckshots in the old. Got 27 of them in the new. And I guarantee you, they'll get you. Is that all right? If you just stay with it, the Word of God, it'll make you whole. All right. So that's why we need to take God at His Word. Yes. So may God bless us as we open the Word of God on this evening. Let's look at the verses, and then we will give you our text and our subject, and then we will shortly be through. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. All right. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. If I could use a subject tonight, it would simply be entitled, It's Time to Burn the Books. It's time to burn the books. Friends, I ask you tonight, do you remember the greatest joy that you ever had? It may have been when you graduated from high school. Or maybe it was when you graduated from college. That may have been your great joy. Was it when you got your first job? Sometimes we're happy when we get our first job. We're excited, can't sleep. So to some people it might be when they have received or have gotten their first job, Brother King.
All right.
Was it when you got married. That may have been the great joy of your life. Well, was it the day that your children were born? Or maybe it was the day that they left home. I don't know. Was it when you bought your first car or your first house? These may have been times when you felt you had great joy. But to some, Brother King, the greatest joy for some is when they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Some of you may remember the day that you walked down the aisle, tears streaming down your eyes, and you gave your hand to the preacher. You gave your heart to God.
All right.
Somebody sung the song, "Just As I Am," or "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" And it just caused you to have so much joy in your heart and in your life.
Amen.
Oh, it may be in the time when there were some books in your life that you had to turn loose of. See, there was some, Brother King, who may have had some books that would tell you to join the church of your choice, or that baptism was not essential to salvation. But after hearing the gospel preached by a gospel preacher, a faithful preacher, you realize you had, Brother Bill, you had to give up. Had to give up those books.
Right.
Some of you probably have some books on your mental bookshelf tonight. And I'm not talking about those particular books, but I'm talking about the way we live. And sometimes we have to turn loose those books, because there are some books in our lives that we don't need to hold on to. We need to turn loose that hatred.
All right.
We need to turn loose the arrogance, the pride, these types of things. And so these are some books that we need to burn tonight.
Yes, yes.
I'm talking about it's time to burn the books. There were some folk who've been taught that you have to get on the mourner's bench, Brother Walker. You have to just pray your sin away. You just have to get a religion, and you realize that these are not the books that's going to get you into heaven. And if you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed Christ, I hope that these are not books on your shelf, but if they're on your shelf, you'll decide tonight, I'm going to get rid of them.
All right.
When I look at the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, very quickly, I want to look at the text, and then we'll make a few applications and the lesson will be yours, because as I said on last evening, it don't take all day to tell the truth. It don't take all night to tell the truth, and so I'm going to give it to you very quickly. But we find in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts these strolling Jews, or as the Bible calls them, vagabond Jews. We find they were exorcists. And they traveled from place to place. And the Bible tells us how that these men would go and they would practice their spells, Brother Dillard, on folk.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That which is genuine is often, it draws imitations.
All right.
And so Paul, as you read through the 19th chapter, realized that he was able to do something that these exorcists, these so-called fake healers, as I call them, these folks, he was able to do something that these individuals couldn't do.
Yes.
He was able to put a handkerchief on folk. If you go back to the 12th verse, the Bible talks about how that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Well, some of these Jews, they thought they could do that.
Right.
As I said, that which is genuine, it oftentimes draws imitation. And these Jews mentioned in these verses were charlatans. Charlatans who prayed on the naive. In other words, they would prey on people. They would get around folk who they thought they could get something out of, and they could get money from, or they could say they were practicing various spells upon. But nevertheless, they were pretending to have expert knowledge or skills that one did not really have. In other words, they were fakes.
Right.
Amen. They were fakes. And you got some fakes today.
Yes.
As I told you last night, we got T.D. Fakes. Y'all know him. I know it's T.D. Jakes, but I call him T.D. Fakes. I know you got some who will claim to know God's word and God's will, but they are deceiving people. In other words, it was no different then than it is now, Brother Dillard. We have fortune tellers and con artists. That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
You got these folk who claim that they can heal you. They claim that they can deal with you, or they can read your fortune, read your mind. And I know that you've heard folk who are saying, even tonight, well, if you sprinkle this on your husband's food, just sprinkle some of that on, boy, that'll make him love you. Have y'all heard some folks say that? Oh yeah, I don't know about that, brothers and sisters, but I know if you sprinkle something on my food, and if it ain't right, it's going to make me sick. Amen. But you got some of these fake healers, some of these folk who are con artists. They'll tell you things like that, and they want you to listen to them and follow them. You've heard the old saying, don't sweep around the feet of someone, because if you do, you're going to cause them to have bad luck. Friend, I don't believe that one bit. You can sweep around folks' feet all day. It ain't going to make them have some kind of problem in the next few days. Hello, somebody. Amen. Don't walk under a ladder. You heard that, Brother Bill? Don't walk under a ladder. If you do, it'll cause you to have bad luck. Somebody said, well, don't walk on a crack because you'll break your mother's back. Y'all know about that. Well, I don't need to tell y'all. But these are fake healers. These are folks. These are quacks. And Paul had them in his day. And guess what? We have them in our day as well. Oh, somebody said, if you see a black cat going one way, you better go another. You've heard that, man. Right. The point I'm trying to get you to understand, brothers and sisters, is these are superstitions. And that's what Paul had in his day. Matter of fact, there was another man in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, round about the 9th verse, whose name was Simon the sorcerer, Brother King. And the Bible tells about old Simon, because he thought he could make some money. Amen. And I want to go to that verse, because some of y'all may not believe me. But the Bible says in verse number 9 of Acts chapter 8, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city, he used sorcery. Right. And bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. This is exactly what these exorcists were doing even in Paul's day, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And the Bible says, unto him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And look at verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. I stopped to tell you that here was a man who tried to do the same thing as these were doing in the 19th chapter of Acts. But guess what, brothers and sisters? We find these Jews, they were capable, or they were claiming to be capable of casting out evil spirits.
Right.
They decided it would be very profitable to cast them out by calling on the name Jesus. They knew very well that they needed more power than they had. Therefore, they called upon the name Jesus to help them to cast out their evil spirits.
Right.
But guess what? There was a Jewish father there. And the Bible says he had 7 sons. And the Bible says they too were in the habit of trying to deceive people. They were among those described in the previous verse. Verse 15, the Bible says they were in for a shock though. The evil spirit had no respect for whatsoever these individuals were doing. It was clear that they had no authority to call upon the name of Christ. That's why the evil spirit was able to say, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
They were only trying to add a new trick to the bag they were already carrying. The evil spirit would have come out through the power of Paul. They would have come out under the power of Jesus, but they knew that these sons of Sceva, they were fakes. They were false.
All right.
And let me tell you something, church. I'm going to drop this off to us. See, the world knows when we're fakes.
You're right.
Is that all right? The world knows when we maybe say one thing and do another. You know, sometimes as parents, we want to say, don't do as I do, but do as I say. That's not a good thing, is it? Because our children, hey, guess what? Children are much smarter than we were when we came up. Hello, somebody. Amen. Kind of remind me of the little boy that was going around and looking around and saw a lady at church. And he kept looking. He said, what you looking at, son? He said, well, mama said you were two-faced. I'm trying to find your other face. That's right, trying to find the other thing. And kids will tell off on you. Amen. They'll tell off on you. But the point is that I'm trying to tell you is the world knows when we are fakes. When we say one thing and try to live another. That's exactly what these seven sons of Sceva were trying to do. They were trying to live one life, even though they knew it wasn't the right life. And they were trying to trap folk. They were trying to get folk to follow them. But the world knows. And when we say one thing and do another,
right.
Parents especially,
yes,
our children know. We don't practice what we preach a lot of times. We tell people that you ought to be baptized. And while we tell them that they ought to be baptized, we up here doing something else.
Mercy.
Amen.
All right.
We out here messing with pot and dope and everything else. And we tell them, you need to be in the church. Mm-hmm. Amen. Or selling, or buying whiskey and drinking alcohol and things of this sort. We can't live one life on Sunday and another life Monday through Saturday. It just don't work. So we need to practice what we preach. We got to keep it real, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Let me go to the book of Luke real quick. Luke chapter 6, the Bible says in verse number 41, Jesus is speaking and he says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how can thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that's in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, but doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? For every tree that is known by its own fruit.
That's right.
For thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather thy grapes. A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why ye call ye me Lord? Lord, and do not the things which I say. In other words, what Jesus is saying here, brothers and sisters, is simply that we can't live one life and then try to portray another life.
Right.
The Bible tells us in verse 41, Jesus is saying, why do you have a little speck, a little mote? Why do you try to pull that little mote out of your brother's eye when you got a big 2x4 in your own eye?
Yeah, that's it.
Jesus also talks about that in Matthew 7, doesn't he? 7:1-3.
Right.
Why try to pull this little mote, this little speck out of your brother? And here you got this beam. In other words, he said, first, what you have to do is first remove the beam that's in your eye.
Right.
Then you can be able to get the mote out of your brother's eye. I said that to the church Because we got to understand that we have to live our lives because the world is watching us.
Yes.
And we may be the only Bible. I know Brother Bill has preached about this time and time again, but I need to give it to you in black tonight. Amen. He gave it to you in white every Sunday, but I'm going to give it to you in black tonight. You need to be able to understand, brothers and sisters, that when we preach and when we teach, we need to understand that when I preach, I tell folk all the time, I got a thumb and three fingers pointing back at me when I point at you.
All right.
Because the world is watching us. We may be the only Bible that some folk will ever read.
That's right.
Oh yes, the only Bible. And so I encourage all of us that we need to practice what we preach.
Amen.
Just as it was not sufficient then to verbalize the name of the Lord Jesus for some mystical power, neither is it sufficient now just to call oneself a Christian. It's more to it than that. Even when we are encouraging one another, we got to understand that there's a right way and there's a wrong way.
Right.
Our actions do speak louder than our words do. That's why John said, Brother King, in 1 John chapter 1,
yes,
beginning about verse number 6, that if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, He said we lie and do not the truth.
That's right.
But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sins.
All
right. Drop over in chapter 2, round about verse number 3. The Bible says, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that said, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth His word, in Him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand tonight that the results of all of this testimony in favor of Christ is that they confess that their previous actions were only fakery. And that's what these men were proving. There are two kinds of confession that we talk about. First of all, when one becomes a Christian, he or she confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Am I right about it?
Yes.
In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 and 33, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Romans 10, 9 and 10, Paul said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's one kind of confession. But then when one sins, when one who is a member of the body of Christ, when they have fallen, one sins, it's important that that person confesses that they have sinned, as we just read from 1 John 1, 7 through 10 a few moments ago.
Right.
When one sincerely repents and confesses his sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins. So we need to understand tonight that if we're in the situation as these men were in the 19th chapter, need to confess some wrong. And this is exactly what they did. They confessed their fault. They realized, hey, what he is teaching, Christ is teaching, what Paul is preaching, this is true. But guess what? We've got to confess that thing. And this is exactly what they did, Brother King.
Yes.
Go back to the text. The Bible tells us that when the evil spirit had answered, said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Drop down to verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. These men had to confess and they had to show their deeds. They realized that we're not living right. We're not doing right. We've got to do something. What did they do? The Bible says in verse 19, many of them also would use curious arts. They brought their books together, burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. What did the Bible say happened in verse number 20? So many mightily grew the word of God, and guess what? It prevailed. I stop to tell you real quickly, brothers and sisters, that these evil men had invested a whole lot of money in these books. I don't know if you understand it or not, but 50,000 pieces of silver was a lot of money in that day and age. And I'm here to tell you that the exact amount changes with the fluctuation of monetary value. But if we remember that a piece of silver was an ordinary day's wage for a working man, then it becomes meaningful to say that the value of the books that were burned on that occasion was equivalent to 50,000 days' wages, which is approximately a total of 1 year's wage for 200 men. That's a lot of money. Amen. That's a lot of money in that day and age. Amen. We may not think it is today, but back in that day, it was a whole lot of money. But guess what they did? They realized that it was time to burn the books. And they, whatever books they had, those books of amen, those books of fakery, those books that were talking about trying to cast out spells, they realized these are not the books that we need to have if we want to be saved. We got to get rid of those books. And that's exactly what they did. All of us, all of that, as I said tonight, is simply this. It's time for you and I to burn some books tonight. What are you saying, brother preacher? Well, Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians, the chapter is 6, round about verse number 9. Is that all right? I can preach this, can't I? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Paul said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, neither idolaters, neither nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." In other words, if you got any of these books in your library, you need to get rid of them.
All right.
Lord have mercy. And I'm not talking about your library you may have at home. I'm talking about in your life. There's a lot of folks who have all of these books in their within their reach. Amen. If they decide they want to fornicate tonight, they want to commit adultery tomorrow night, they can. But I'm here to tell you, if you want to go to heaven, you got to burn some books. Amen. I know it's awful quiet tonight, but I brought my own amen, Brother King. Amen. The Bible tells me in verse 11, "And such were some of you." Paul said, some of you Corinthians, you lived like this at one time. And he said, "And such were some of you, but you are washed." In other words, you've been baptized now. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord by the Spirit of our God.
Right.
You can go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Paul says almost the same thing verbatim to the Galatian Christian. And he lets them know that such were some of you. And he goes on to say a little further. He says, "And those who do such things," and the such like. Is that all right? Did he add the such like in there? I believe to the Galatians he said, "And the such like." He dealt with all those various sins that were in their lives. And then he said, "And the such like." In other words, Brother Dillard, those such like are those things he may not have touched on.
Right.
Everything else that was bad that needed to be burned, he said, you need to get rid of them because they will cause you to lose your soul. I stopped to tell you here in Smyrna tonight that whatever it is that's in our lives that causes us to turn our back on the Lord, we need to burn those things in our lives.
All right.
Oh yeah, God gives us the power. He gives us the power through the Holy Spirit, Brother King,
yes, sir,
to do just that, doesn't he? It kind of reminds me of that story that I heard told about a fellow who had a bulldog. He had a bulldog and he called his bulldog Bullet. And he had old Bullet, and Bullet was chained to a pole. Now I know sometimes people might get upset at that, but back in the day they used to do that. Well, he was chained to a pole, and every time another human being or a fellow would come by, a woman would come by, old Bullet just run and jump and just whoop, and chain holding him back. Couldn't go no further. Lo and behold, there was another dog that came. Bullet didn't like that. Bullet said, in the other words, He ain't going to get in my territory. So old Bullet ran so hard, and as he ran, he broke that chain and went and attacked that other dog. Somebody said, well, Brother Whitaker, what made old Bullet break the chain? Well, it was the power that was within him, and it was greater than the chain that was holding him. What are you saying, Brother Whitaker? I'm simply saying that that God gives us the power through his word to read it and to study it and to obey it and to live it, so that it can be stronger than those things that kind of holding us from doing what we know is right.
All right.
We need to have that power that's within us through the Holy Spirit that will help us to break the chain of those sins and those things that holds us back from obeying God. We need to say, I'm going to burn these things because it's time to burn some books.
All right.
Oh, I know that's simple. I know that's plain. But I need to tell you, brothers and sisters, tonight that there are some books we need to burn. What are some of those books? Well, books of lying. You see, a lot of folks lie. Amen. Some folks say they lie like a rug. Amen. Y'all know what a rug will do. It just lie. Lie. But there are a lot of folk who need to realize that there are some books of envy that need to be burned tonight. Some folk have envy in their hearts, and it's so bad, Brother Diller, that if somebody died and they knew about it, they wouldn't even bother them, because that's just how much envy and hate they have for that individual.
Yes.
Oh, how sad that is. I see that in our brotherhood sometimes. Not only that, but there's malice and there's hatred. And the Apostle Paul tells us that we need to be kind one to another. We need to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And if those books are in our lives, we need to burn them tonight. We don't need to go home tonight and say, well, I'll just sleep on it. See, the Bible tells us that we can be angry, Brother Bill, but we don't need to sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
All right.
Oh, yes. We need to replace the books of hatred, the books of lying, the books of envy. We need to replace them by adding some love. Am I right about it?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus said in John chapter 13 and round about verse number 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye do love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And then he said, by this, verse 35, shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. We need to burn those books. If those books are keeping us from obeying the gospel, we need to obey. We need to burn those books tonight. There are some spiritual books that we need to burn tonight. Paul called it fake news over there in Galatians 1. We may have already talked about that this week, but I'll just mention the text. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. You know what Paul says. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who have called you from the gospel, which is not another. But he said, there be some that trouble you that are here. And what you're doing is you're taking the true gospel and you're trying to make it into a fake gospel. But Paul said in essence, and I paraphrase, but though we are an angel from heaven, if we preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach, he said, let him be accursed.
That's right.
As I said before, I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you've heard us preach, he ought to be accursed. Paul lets us know that he wasn't trying to please men. And brothers, we can't please men today.
That's right.
Our job is to please God.
That's right.
Is that all right?
Yes.
So we need to burn some of these books. What is it? The Baptist manual needs to be burned. The Methodist discipline needs to be burned. The Catholic catechism needs to be burned. The books of the Jehovah's Witness, these are all the books that need to be burned. And we need to hold on to God's word.
Right.
The word of God that will lead us from earth to glory. As I hasten to my close, what did Jesus say about it? In Matthew 15, 8 and 9. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. I hear Jesus saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. They honored me with their lips. But he said, the hearts are far from me. But look what he said in verse 9. But in vain do they what worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know what Jesus said about it? Drop down to verse 13. Every plant. He wasn't talking about tomato plants either. Those are good tomatoes tonight, but he wasn't talking about tomato plants. He wasn't talking about pepper plants. He's talking about institutions of men. And he said, every plant that my heavenly Father have not planted, what's going to happen? It shall be rooted up. Then he goes on and say, let them alone. Why? They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. I don't know about you tonight, but we need to burn some of these spiritual books. There are some more books. I just don't have time to deal with all of them tonight, but I wish I had the time. But you know, it's time also to burn the book of possessions. Sometimes as Christians, sometimes we hold on to things. You remember the rich young ruler? In the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 16 through 25, this rich young ruler, he had possessions. Matter of fact, Brother King, as a child, as a young man, when the Lord asked him about some things in his life and how he should live and how he should help others, he said, all these things I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And then you know what Jesus told him? Mm-hmm. He said, if you're perfect, if you're complete, you go and sell everything that you have, and then you come and follow me, and you shall have treasures in heaven. You know what this man did? The Bible says that he went away sorrowful. Why did he go away sorrowful? Because the Bible says he had great possessions. Sometimes we allow possessions, we allow riches, we allow things of this or material possession. We allow those things to keep us from serving God.
All right.
I'm glad Zacchaeus didn't allow that to happen to him in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. The Bible tells us, you remember when Jesus was coming down and he was coming through Jericho and he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus up in that tree. He told him, you come down because I'm going to stay at your house.
That's right.
Oh, brothers and sisters, a lot of us would have probably wouldn't have wanted that opportunity. But Zacchaeus, he was glad to get it. People started talking about it. That didn't make no difference. He even said, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him back fourfold. In other words, I'll give him back more than I took from him. And then the Bible tells us how that Jesus went to his house. And he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
Oh, he had a lot. But he was willing to burn the books on his possession in order to follow Jesus. I say to you tonight, there might be some in this audience that need to burn some books on possessions. See, don't let money become your master instead of your servant. And it is all right to possess money, but don't let money possess you. That's the key.
Amen.
Too many people are in the rat race for obtaining money and are participating in what they ought to be abstaining from. Too many are for what they ought to be against. Too many are enjoying what they ought to be despising. Too many are running to what they ought to be running from. Too many are accepting what they ought to be rejecting. Too many have given in to what they should have given up. Too many have compromised ethics for success and integrity for pleasure and character for money. But I hear Jesus saying, Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? See, the songwriter wrote for me, Brother King, some folks would rather have diamonds and pearls. Some folks choose silver and gold and forgot about their soul. But I've decided to make Jesus my choice. What are you saying, Brother Preacher? It's time. It's time to burn the books tonight. And tonight as I get ready to close, I want to tell you that it's time to burn the books on procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of folk who are putting off obeying Christ, who are putting off living the Christian life. That I stopped to tell you, it's time to burn the books. Is that all right?
Yes.
King Agrippa, as we talked about this week already. In Acts chapter 26, verses 19, and also verses 28 and 29. This is the same individual that Paul had contact with. And Paul knew that Agrippa knew. And he knew that he understood. And he should have obeyed. But you know what he said. Brother King, he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost is not good enough. We need to be all together. And Paul said that. I wish he was all together. Except in these bonds. What are you saying, Brother Whitaker? I'm saying, oh sinner man. Or sinner woman. Your disease called sin requires the touch of the Master's hand to heal you tonight. Not fake healers. Your guilt requires the mercy of the Lord to pardon it this evening. Your confusion requires the wisdom of the Lord to clear it. Your past requires the grace of God to forgive. Aren't you tired tonight? Aren't you tired of nights without sleep? Aren't you tired tonight of burdens without a purpose? Aren't you tired tonight of problems without relief? Aren't you tired of guilt without forgiveness? Then you ought to come to Jesus. That's what you ought to do tonight. You need to burn your books. Are those things that's keeping you from obeying God? You ought to hear the gospel tonight. I hope you've heard it. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Mm-hmm. You can come to Jesus tonight by believing in Jesus. John 8 verse 24, Jesus said, except ye believe that I'm he, you shall die in your sins. That where I am, you cannot come. You come to Jesus by repenting of your sins. Not reporting, but repenting. You know what reporting is? That's when you report, I've sinned, and then the next Sunday you do it again. That's just reporting. But you got to repent. You got to quit. In other words, when you repent, you stop doing what you used to do. Just like that big dog that was coming after Brother Keeble. He used to tell that story. Big dog would come after he was going to eat at a member's home one Sunday. Big dog was coming down, and I mean he was ferocious, and amen. Some people tell you, well, he won't bite. He may not bite you, but he'll bite me. But Brother Keeble realized that big dog was coming, and he was making an application of what repentance is. And when that dog got closer, he took a stick and he hit the dog, and the dog stopped. And turned and went the other way. Well. He said, that's what repentance is. You quit what you're doing and you go the other way. Well, I stopped to tell you, that's what repentance. You got to quit doing what you're doing. You got to make a change in your life. And you got to go the other way. You can't keep going the same way that you're going. That's not repentance. You got to repent. You got to quit doing what you do. In other words, you're going to burn your books. And you're not going to pick them up anymore. And then you're going to confess that Christ is a son of God. Do like the Ethiopian eunuch. When Philip came to him, and after they had talked a while, he came to some water, and Philip said, see, here is water. Or the eunuch did, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And the eunuch asked and said, I believe. He believed. In other words, he believed in that Christ was the son of God. Matthew 10:32 and 33, that's a safe tent. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Then you got to be baptized. Have your sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he exhort, testify, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. In the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a blessing. Remain faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and 10. Be thou faithful, Jesus said, unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. See, what do you gain when you come to the Lord? I tell you what you gain. and the lesson is yours. You gain the bread of life, for he satisfies the hungry.
Amen.
You gain the captain of our salvation, because he defeats the enemy.
Amen.
You gain the divine foundation, for he heals the afflicted.
Amen.
You gain the burden bearer, who lifts up the depressed.
Yes,
you gain the faithful friend who will stick closer than a brother. You gain the Rose of Sharon who delights the exhausted. You gain the Prince of Peace who claims and who calms the troubled waters. Then you also, you gain the resurrection and the life who gives hope to those who are dying. That's why Jesus could say in John 14, round about verse number 1, to those troubled disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. You know what Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? You know what Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the light. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you want to go to heaven? I know you do. If you're a child of God and somewhere down the road of life, you have some books in your life, in your spiritual library that needs to be burning. Why don't you do that tonight? If you have some books in your library that's causing you not to give God your heart tonight, give the preacher your hand, then you need to make a change. You need to decide, I'm going to burn my books. I don't want to keep holding on these things because they're not going to help me. But what they're going to do, they're going to hinder me from making heaven my home. I've said enough to save the world. I know young folk are going back to school this week and tomorrow. So I'm getting ready to sit down. But I encourage you, we're not in that much of a hurry that if you need to respond to the invitation, we'd be willing to baptize you tonight.
Amen.
That's what this meeting is for.
Amen.
And we want to save somebody. I don't wear this fish hook up here for nothing. I figured somebody would ask me about my fish hook, but nobody has. But it won't catch a bass. Well, it may not catch a crappie, but I got it here to remind me that I'm a fisher of men. And I'm out to catch men. And I want to catch somebody tonight. So if your books need to be burned, now is the time to burn your books. Will you do it? Do it right now.